comes from Indiana University. Today's program was prepared by Eric Sonstrom, with help from Ted Hamill. For A Moment of Science, I'm Yael Cassander.
In sports, top seed Roger Federer beat Robin Soderling 6-3, 6-4, 7-6 in today's second-round play at Wimbledon. Other winners on day three at the All-England Club include Anna Ivanovic and Serena Williams. The president of the International Baseball Federation says the organization has tentative plans to launch a professional baseball league in Europe in 2010. Harvey Schiller also says baseball's World Cup in September of 2009 is being shifted from Cuba to seven European nations in an effort to bolster the sport's bid to get back into the Olympics. The Chicago White Sox just ended a nine-game road losing streak, and tonight they'll try for a two-game road winning streak. The Sox are on the West Coast again to continue their series against the Los Angeles Dodgers. The Cubs are hoping for another strong performance from Ted Lilly when they face off against the Baltimore Orioles at Wrigley Field tonight. Lilly is 2-0 with a 2.79 ERA and 22 strikeouts in his last three contests. The Orioles plan to counter with Brian Burris. The Cubs lost to Baltimore last night. That game ended a string of 14 home game wins for Chicago. And Fresno State spotted Georgia a 5-0 lead before roaring back for a 19-10 victory and force a decisive third game in the College World Series final. That game takes place tonight in Omaha, Nebraska. That's sports.
WILL programs are made possible by Bavir Cafe 2, offering gourmet sandwiches, salads, and ice cream, with seating inside or outside in the lower courtyard of the new Human Genomics Complex next to Morrow Plots on the U of I campus.
When Americans were listening to Jimi Hendrix and the Beatles, China's airwaves were full of songs with lyrics from Chairman Mao's Little Red Book. Things have loosened up a bit since then, but China's government still bans music that mentions sex, violence, or that has, quote, low-class humor. That rules out a lot of material. Turn on the radio in China today, and you're most likely to hear something like this. Now the internet has given Chinese music fans free access to pretty much everything. NPR's Laura Seidel has this profile of an independent musician using the internet to make a name for himself.
B6 is eating a slice of pizza when he opens the door of his apartment.
Hi, I'm Laura. B6. Nice to meet you.
The 27-year-old electronic musician lives and works in a high-rise on the outskirts of the city. We sit down in his studio, and he explains it was the internet that really allowed him to explore his passion for electronic music.
When I was in high school, I used to listen to rock and roll music. It was very hard to get foreign or Western music. You had to go to the black market to get CDs.
But when B6 got access to the internet in 1999, it opened up a whole new world.
We used those peer-to-peer websites like Napster to download music.
B6 fell in love with electronic music such as techno and intelligent dance music out of Detroit, Michigan. Now his own compositions range from dance music to the contemplative. This is a piece he calls My Post-Rock Yard. It's about the small and somewhat disheveled garden outside the window of his studio.
People misunderstand electronic music. Electronic music does not necessarily have to be cold. It can be very human, and even warmer than acoustic music.
Not only is the internet helping B6 find new music, it's helping him make a living from his work. Until recently, musicians who weren't officially sanctioned by the government couldn't sell CDs or get airplay. But now the market has opened up.
Sometimes I sell some of my own CDs, and sometimes I help do soundtracks for commercials and movies. And sometimes I do soundtracks for installation art at galleries.
B6 knows it's rare to be able to make a living from your music in China, and he wants to help other independent musicians support themselves. So a couple of years ago, he became one of the founders of a website called Neocha. He and co-founder Sean Liao wanted to figure out a way for independent musicians to make money. But Liao says they didn't know what it was.
Necessity is the mother of invention, in that Chinese musicians and Chinese labels and everybody that's in this industry is getting pushed so hard and trying to figure this model out that maybe they'll come on a solution before someone in the U.S. does.
Neocha sells advertising and they split the revenue with the artists. They don't even bother trying to sell the music because there's so much piracy in China, there is no point. One way Neocha promotes the music is with an online music player called Next. Turn it on, and you can listen to a random sampling of songs by Neocha musicians. Don't like that? Click the button that says Next, and you get something else. Sean Liao says that what independent musicians in China need is a way to make a living with their music.
It's kind of a cyclical thing that we need to help them just get to a level where they can start making some money so that they can live out and achieve their creative potential.
The internet isn't just a way to help musicians make money, it's also a way for them to connect with each other. It's a Thursday night, and B6 is hopping on a packed train with three musicians from Japan. They're all heading to play a club in Nanjing, a gig they planned together online.
We have like the internet, like MSN live message, so we can, you know, get connected with all the musicians from all over the world.
2.5 hours later, they arrive in Nanjing and head to a smoky basement club called Castle Bar. It's packed with trendy-looking young Chinese and Westerners. It's a pastiche of brightly colored hair, cargo pants, blue jeans, and short skirts. B6 stands behind a glass window in the DJ booth. His MacBook is hooked into the sound system. The crowd looks on and then starts to move out to the dance floor. The club doesn't empty out until after 3 a.m. A couple of fans stop to talk with me, Johnny Ju and Yao Lian. They give the same answer when I ask them how they first heard electronic music.
On website.
Internet.
B6 has his criticisms of the way the Communist Party still manages the media in his country, but he feels optimistic about the future. He says the government is trying to encourage creativity.
I know that in the minds of many foreigners, China is the world's factory. That is not the image the Chinese government would like to project to the world.
B6 says the government wants the Chinese people to be more creative, so he believes there will be more openings for independent artists like himself, especially as more young people explore what's on the internet. Here's a song by B6 about what he thinks the world will be like in 50 years. Laura Seidel, NPR News.
Being a teenager can be tough. Next time on PRI's The World, Muslim teens in America face some unique challenges. A new guide written by two young Pakistani Americans and their mom offers some tips. The American Muslim Teenager's Handbook. That story in the day's news coming up this afternoon on The World at 3 o'clock here on AM 580 and online at will.illinois.edu. For decades, people who wanted to get from one Hawaiian island to another have had one main option, flying. When plans were unveiled for a high-speed ferry between the islands, Hawaiians and tourists were initially thrilled. But growing concern about the super ferry's potential environmental impact has turned the issue into one of the state's biggest legal battles in years, Ann Dornfeld reports.
David Dinner is board president of the environmental group 1,000 Friends of Kauai. He lives near this small beach on the island's north shore. Zinner says when endangered humpback whales come to Hawaii in the winter to give birth, you can whale watch right from this beach. Even when he lived far from the ocean, he once witnessed a huge migration from his window.
I could see that the ocean was filled with whales, and I later found out that there were 6,000 whales around Kauai at that time. So it was like wall-to-wall whales out there.
When Dinner first heard about plans for a high-speed inter-island catamaran, he was excited. But the more he and others learned about the Hawaii Super Ferry, the more they worried about its effect on those whales. Mother whales spend a lot of time just below the surface, pushing their calves up for air. The concern is that the ferry's twin hulls would strike the whales at a speed of up to 45 miles per hour. That's a lot faster than other boats like cruise ships and tankers.
The other boats that travel in this area generally go in the area of 13 to 15 miles an hour, so the Super Ferry is way beyond the speed of the other boats.
Another big worry was that the car ferry could bring invasive species from one island to another. For instance, mongoose has decimated the Big Island's bird population, but Kauai doesn't have mongooses yet. Rich Heppner is founder of the Super Ferry Impact Group.
We have an incredible selection of birds here. We have shearwaters, albatross, the state bird, the nene, is a land dweller, an endangered species. So one pregnant mongoose gets on our island, our bird population will be history.
When activists learned that the state government had given Hawaii Super Ferry the green light without an environmental impact statement, they filed suit. Last August, the state Supreme Court ruled that the state should have required an environmental impact statement. Despite that, just 2 days later, Super Ferry made its maiden voyage to Kauai. Rich Heppner says 24 surfers and kayakers blocked the boat's path to Niuliuli Harbor for hours. The next night, protesters crowded the harbor and dozens more people took to the water, some in traditional Hawaiian canoes. Protesters filmed the action.
After 3 hours, the ferry, which was at the mouth of the harbor, turned around and went back to Oahu. It didn't get to its dock, and it hasn't been back since.
Hawaii Super Ferry says it takes the environment seriously. Terry O'Halloran is director of business development. He points to the company's efforts to keep invasive species from hitching a ride on vehicles.
We look under the hood, we look in the trunk, we look in the wheel wells, we look inside the vehicle, and then a certain number of vehicles that go through our security screening get a much more thorough screening and inspection.
O'Halloran says vehicles with muddy tires aren't allowed on board in case bugs or seeds are in the dirt. There are boot scrubbers for passengers, too. Onboard videos warn travelers about the dangers of invasive species. O'Halloran says Super Ferry also has a whale avoidance policy that includes avoiding the main calving areas during whale season and slowing down in whale zones.
We have been able to spot and avoid the whales. We also have two dedicated whale lookouts, and their only job is to help the captain spot whales.
Super Ferry is still making its Oahu to Maui trips. In a special session, Hawaii legislators passed a law allowing the Super Ferry to keep running while the state conducts an environmental impact statement. Protesters say that's a terrible idea and illegal. They're pursuing lawsuits in the state Supreme Court to dock the ferry until it's clear the boat is safe. For the Environment Report, I'm Ann Dornfeld on Kauai.
The Environment Report is a production of Michigan Radio. Support comes from the Joyce Foundation, the George Gund Foundation, and USDA's Cooperative Extension Service. Have something to say about the Environment Report? Send email to feedback@environmentreport.org.
Thomas Jefferson loved his books, more than 6,000 of them.
These are the books that he owned and worked with to write the Declaration of Independence. These are the books that he consulted to be a better diplomat in France.
Books on history, science, on keeping bees and brewing beer. Books he sold to his country, and now they're on display. A visit to Jefferson's library later on All Things Considered from NPR News.
Today from 4 to 7 on AM 580 WILL Urbana.
Sunday afternoons at 5, join us for a live broadcast of Keeping the Faith. Each week, host Steve Shoemaker and his guests explore issues of faith, spirituality, religion, and ethics. This week, Steve's guest is Esther Pat, and the topic is Ethics in Politics. That's Keeping the Faith, Sunday afternoon at 5 here on AM 580. Tomorrow, here on the Afternoon Magazine, in the 1 o'clock hour of the program, we'll talk about the rise of the animal protection movement. It was not all that long ago The idea that animals are even capable of suffering was an absurdity and